Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Spend my dollar.
It's not about what you want. It's about what you're willing to do to get it. Run it again.
Hello and welcome.
I'm not going to, so quit asking.
When you give me a hard time.
For the listeners that didn't get to go.
This is the payback.
Alabama wins!
What you did last year really doesn't matter.
Our goal is to have the kind of team that nobody wants to play.
Hi.
Hello and welcome to an If Loving You Is Wrong, I Don't Want to Be Right edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Interesting tagline, right? Well, yeah, me too. I thought Tale of Two Cities, but that's a little hack for a game like this. A Quentin Tarantino edition of the podcast. That hits the point that this game's story is best told as a series of vignettes. But Quentin's darkness was a little too much brooding for a win such as this. A Mike Tyson edition. Now that tells a story. A boxer, never a technical marvel, capable of stacking a career on overwhelming brutality. But through the fog and haze, the soulful lyrics of Luther Ingram set the right scene. This is a game, an outcome, an experience you can get lost in. Even if the voters and pundits or parents and friends don't abide, yes, even though we have SEC-level responsibilities ahead of us. If I can't enjoy this play when I want, I'll enjoy it when I can. I could also call it a family beach edition of the podcast. So for that reason, let's get this abbreviated version rolling. So let's jump in like we do on offense. And we're going to talk about Bryce because we have to. I think it's in the podcast bylaws. We always have to start with a quarterback. But we don't have a lot to say about Bryce. He threw two interceptions for the first time since the Georgia game. So that's about as much of a parallel as we'll find between those games. But his play was solid. Wasn't outstanding. It wasn't spectacular. It was solid. He had three passing touchdowns and a rushing touchdown, and he did not look pleased that he ran for that rushing touchdown. I think he wanted to share the wealth, give the ball to someone else. Not exactly sure, but or maybe he saw a receiver just as he was streaking across the line of scrimmage and wishes they had thrown the ball. I don't know the answer to any of those questions. I know that Bryce is outstanding and has played as such this season. His numbers don't always reflect that. But he's certainly a guy we'd rather have on our squad. And the fact that Alabama put up 63 when Bryce had such a, I'm going to call it a pedestrian day, is certainly a testament to the strength of Alabama. Jahmyr Gibbs, we've said this before and we'll say it every week, he may be the most explosive, dynamic weapon on the Tide's offense. While he only had four carries for 36 yards, he also had four catches for 65 yards and a touchdown, and he had 50-some-odd yards in a return game. And I would say those were legit. He didn't just run it out to the 23 and got to count those while the team lost two. He had a single carry, and it was a legit 57-yarder, so he took it across midfield. I give all the credit in the world for that. Do we need him to do that in a game like this? No. Was it fun to watch? Hell yeah. So that's my thought on Jahmyr. I think he is sort of something on a pitch count, if you will, which I think is fine. I think he was at Georgia Tech. He probably is here. I don't have a problem with it. He is a mismatch weapon. We can use him a lot of different ways. And if we wake up one day and he has a 225-yard total offensive day, I don't think that's going to surprise anyone. Roydell Williams, I thought, was our most, I won't say dynamic from an athletic standpoint. I think that's Jahmyr Gibbs, but our most dominant running back, or the Tide's most dominant running back on Saturday, I thought was Roydell Williams. He's an enigma. He'll have really strong games and look just as good as anyone else, and then he'll have a fumble. I thought last week, say what you will about the play call, I love the play call. I love the layering nuance of the run on fourth down. I just wish Roydell had hit the hole stronger. But that opportunity he had last week really sort of demonstrates the confidence that the coaching staff has in him. And then Roy will do something sort of the other way, and he fumbled the ball Saturday. And so is dominant, as physical, as much of a contribution as he had in the running game, eight carries, 58 yards and a touchdown. That fumble makes it hard for him, and not to mention the players ahead of him, makes it hard for him to come out of that number three slot. But his physicality, and he's dominant in that capacity. That's a skill set that he brings that the other two running backs have, but they don't exercise in quite the same way. Roydell is not afraid to lower his head and run into the line of scrimmage, and I think that's something that Tide fans should watch for. When he comes in, he's a very physical runner, and I think he's nearly as dynamic as the other guys. Freshman Jamarian Miller, he's the fifth or sixth, depending upon how you count all the ball carriers. He had four for 51. He's an explosive player when he gets to the edge. He's not afraid to go in there and mix it up too. He's going to be a fella that I think Alabama coaching staffs, and this is the type of commentary that Saban doesn't like, but as fans, we need to think about this in terms of the sort of the larger context of the roster and player movement, and especially in this era of the transfer portal. Jamarian Miller, I think, is a player that the Alabama coaches need to find a way to keep him active and interested in Alabama, keep him active and progressing up the depth chart, or he's a player that transfers as we bring in new recruits and fans start to get excited about the next shiny object. A player like that tends to, historically, tends to transfer out. And I think Jamarian is a talent that we want to stick around in Tuscaloosa. So it'll be interesting to see as we get into SEC play. We typically tighten the bench, and he is well down fifth or sixth in the pecking order. So it'll be interesting to see how opportunities are identified and created for Mr. Miller at the running back position. The tight end, I love the tight end play that we're seeing with Cam Latu back, and Amari Nablack really sort of burst on the team on the scene Saturday, which was phenomenal. But I want to go back to Cam. I think he's our most well-rounded tight end, and I thought he really demonstrated that on Saturday. He had three carries for 51 yards. He had a long of 38, and I can't emphasize that catch that he had. It was down the sideline. It was over other receiver, so he kind of mossed him in a way. He turned around, went up over the receiver, caught the ball. It was a big play. Good ball placement where only Cam could catch it, so a lot of accuracy there on the throw, and a lot of natural receiver capability that Latu demonstrated in hauling in that ball. I will also emphasize that is nearly almost the exact same play that Bryce tried to hit Cameron Latu on against Texas. And just if he had another heartbeat to set his feet and throw the ball and follow through on the throw instead of throwing off his back foot, that would have been a big catch, a big reception, 25, 30 yards against Texas on a possession where Alabama otherwise punted. And so we're going to get to the offensive line because I do think these dots connect. These are tightly ingrained or integrated sort of philosophies. And so I think Cam is a weapon. He can be a weapon down the sideline. He demonstrated Saturday that he can go up and get the ball. You can say all you want to about it being La Moreau. That's fine. I'm going to tell you the physicality with a receiver in his hip pocket for him to go up and get the ball, it does not matter who the defender is. That was a big league play that Cam made there. And he is going to draw those mismatches. It's either going to be a linebacker that he's more athletic than, or it's going to be a DB that he's going to be much bigger. And that's sort of the magic of the tight end. When you get the right tight end, they're almost unblockable because of the skill set that they possess. And that's why it's hard to find a really, really good one. And I think Cam is going to be that for the Crimson Tide. And also think Amari Nablack true freshman. He had one reception for 15 yards. It was a touchdown. He's a big old boy, and he's going to be a player for the Tide, too. He's another one to watch for as he rolls out there, number 84. Going back in sort of my memory banks, he looks like a bigger Shamari Buchanan. And so it'll be interesting to see how he develops. He goes 6'4", 225, big old boy, made a really nice catch in the end zone. And the fact that he was put in the game and trusted as a target, I think really speaks well to his athleticism, how he's performing in practice, what the coaches are seeing to put him into that opportunity. So watch for Cam and Amari for all the disgruntledness, if you will, around the wide receivers. And I share it. The fact that some of these tight ends have an opportunity to create mismatches, and Jahmyr Gibbs as well, to create mismatches in the passing game, I think is only going to open it up for wide receivers. If we see a receiver come out in the next couple of weeks and go for a 150 with two touchdowns, don't be surprised. The talent is there. It absolutely is there. We're finding other outlets for the passing game, and it's going to naturally, just like a pendulum, it's going to swing back to the wide receivers. And I do like our wide receiver core. They certainly need to put in some work. No doubt, but and just time and reps with Bryce, but that's gonna round out. I'm confident that it will. But I like to see, or I like and seeing what the passing game is, or how it's evolving sort of in the meantime. So that'll be certainly fun to watch. We can't talk Alabama offense without talking about the offensive line, and there was a couple of sort of telling developments on Saturday. And so this is a couple of areas in the area of podcast predictions, and a couple of areas that maybe we wouldn't have forecasted quite that far. We did see Javon Cohen start at right guard. Okay, we had predicted that. And that was really cemented with Kendall Randolph coming out wearing number 85. So he came in. He effectively started. In fact, he did start first play of the game at the tight end position with Cohen at left guard. So I think that is pretty official. Things could change next week. They could suit up differently. It's as easy as that. It's as easy as passing out laundry. But I think to go into this game and give those reps to Javon, a game where the reps are important, they're needed, to give those reps to Javon or Javian instead of Kendall, I think is telling. Now, Kendall, in his own right, he played three different positions on Saturday. You could argue four. I think he did line up at both guard positions, but he played tight end, guard, and tackle. I think with the second team, maybe the third team, he lined up at one of the tackle spots. And so Saban is going to create a role for Kendall. I think Saban likes to reward his seniors and super seniors at that. Chris Owens was a good example. If they know the playbook and they have a high floor, Saban's going to put them in. And what we need to do, or as Tide fans, and I would argue even the coaching staff, what we need to do is not let that loyalty hurt the team. I would argue that it did last year. I don't think that same mistake will happen this year. But we're going to find Kendall Randolph pop up in a lot of different positions. And so Saturday, the fact that he played three or four different positions across the front, including tight end, should be a no surprise, and we should celebrate because he has the athleticism to do it. I just think he makes better blocking tight end than he does at any other of the sort of five down linemen. But Cohen at left guard certainly was telling. Certainly that was interesting to watch. But sort of a bridge farther than, because we forecasted Javian, right? What we didn't forecast is five-star true freshman, 6'5", 335, Tyler Booker. He was a backup at a tackle position, and it looked like that might be where his home is, and it may yet still be. But on Saturday, he was a wrecking crew at the guard position, and it seemed like the running game just really elevated itself when Booker came in at the guard position. Now, he came in for Javian Cohen, which is interesting to see how that unfolded. But Booker also played some at the guard position for Ekior. And so what's interesting is Saban says, you know, we've got a couple of three guys at those two positions. We're still competing, and we need to improve our physicality at the position. So I think there were definitely some meetings over the last couple of weeks. How do we improve our physicality at that guard position? And Booker's name probably kept coming up and coming up and coming up. And let's give him some reps at guard and let's practice him more at guard. And he looked promising today at guard. So let's start him at guard, you know, tomorrow, not in the game, but in practice. And clearly he acquitted himself very well, such that he got into the game early. And it wasn't because he had beaten out and was taking over, but he was getting a test drive on live fire with the rest of the starting line. Tyler Booker was getting some reps live fire with the starting offensive lineman. That's going to continue to evolve, and it's going to do one of two things. It's going to be a simple sort of plug and play where Tyler Booker comes in and starts for Javion Cohen. Well, not likely at Kiore, but it could happen. And so it could be a plug and play where Tyler Booker steps into one of those positions and sort of takes it over for the balance of the season. Does that happen as early as Vanderbilt? It would not surprise me. Does he play against Vanderbilt? Yes, I'd be surprised if he didn't. It also could, it could signify sort of a ripple effect. And so if, for example, Tyler Booker played well enough at the guard position to supplant Emil Ekior, would we then maybe try Ekior at center? For Daukert, I think there's a potential for that. If he were to step in at the guard position for Cohen, would Cohen, who himself is an athletic offensive lineman, would he put pressure on one of the tackle positions? Well, he could. And so that's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. I don't think the offensive line, and again, we said this in our offensive preseason show, the offensive line is not settled. There's going to be movement. We predicted a 40% sort of shift in positions. Now, we said that left guard would go to Cohen, and we said center would go to Seth McLaughlin. And there may be even more transition if Tyler Booker emerges as a starter. And I'm still not ready to rule out Seth McLaughlin at the center position. And if we feel like we've got three big body physical guards and we want to put one of them at center, and it's Ekior, who some predict might be his NFL position, then, you know, all bets are off at that point. So that might be an interesting thing to watch. Seth did come in. I thought he played well. It's hard to tell if he had, like, truly settled down the line because there was so much transition. And at that point, the game was largely over. I thought Daukert played okay, but there were a couple instances where he just looked like he was overcome by the bull rush from La Monroe. So I do think there's still some transition. There's still some change coming there. But boy, it was interesting. Tectonic shifts, I would say, across the offensive line Saturday. Continue to watch for that. That's going to be a fun evolving storyline. We're going to get to about week 6 or 7, and we're going to forget all of this because it's the nature of it. But these are the building blocks that go into us having an outstanding offensive line by the end of the season. So embrace it, enjoy it, track it, watch it. And, you know, make your predictions. We'll go from there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
I am going to move on to defense, but before I do, I'm going to hit mini game ball, and I'm going to give – I had a hard time finding someone, to be honest with you, and that's probably telling on myself as much as it is anyone else. But I'm going to go Ja'Cory Brooks. He's been silent most of the season. I think he had his first two catches last week. He only had one catch against Louisiana Monroe, and it happened to come on the first possession of the game. He had one catch for 29 yards. He also had a big special teams play early in the first quarter. So it's almost like he caught a cab home after the first quarter. We know that's not true, but it almost presented that way. He had to have a punt return late in the game. So we know he didn't leave the stadium. But nonetheless, I thought Ja'Cory, my impression is that Ja'Cory is finding a way into the rotations. And he hasn't sort of broken through, and he's not up kind of up there where Trayshawn is or Burton, who themselves are not, you know, demonstrating to be great shakes at this point. So I think nearly almost anyone in the roster who knows the playbook can emerge and become a go-to one or two receiver. And I think Ja'Cory Brooks may be trying to battle into that position. So that's going to be interesting as JoJo Earl comes back, as Tyler Harrell comes back from injury. It's going to be interesting how they carve out our roles for themselves as well. And I'm highly confident that what we see is Alabama fans weeks 1, 2, and 3. When we get to weeks 7, 8, and 9, the offense will be significantly different on the back of the transition, the evolution that we see from the wide receiver positions. So do not throw this baby out with the bathwater. Do not drain the tub and fill it up again. But do not throw it out, because these wide receivers are, as we get guys back from injury and as these guys continue to grow and evolve, this offense, I think, is really going to platform. It's going to sort of really re-platform itself. And the wide receivers who you could argue are not carrying their weight at this point in time are going to be explosive weapons as the season moves forward. All right, I promise we're going to flip the field to defense, and we're going to do just that. I thought Alabama defense, with the exception of maybe one drive, which came off of fourth down play that I think even Saban acknowledges he probably shouldn't have called, I thought the defense was outstanding. 4 of 17, they allowed 4 of 17 on third down conversions, and they allowed Louisiana Monroe 169 total yards of offense, which is a great performance, I would say, in sort of this era of football. And here's an interesting stat. You know, if we look at the 169 and we sort of break it up, Alabama allowed 91 yards of passing and 78 yards of rushing. So they didn't break the century mark in either phase of the game. But here's an interesting stat. Through three games, Utah State had 79 yards of rushing, Texas had 79 yards of rushing, and Louisiana Monroe had 78 yards of rushing. So it's there's definitely a watermark there in terms of rushing yards allowed by this Alabama defense. So it's interesting to see how that played out, or how that will continue to play out. Alabama defense recorded 4 sacks after going sackless for much of the first 2 weeks, 4 quarterback hurries and 9 TFLs. So they were really getting after the quarterbacks. I want to call out a couple of players for their individual play. But we're certainly not going to drain. We're not going to drain the entire roster of players. Will Anderson. We're nearly always going to talk about Will Anderson. I thought he had he did have a penalty again, but I thought he had a big day. There was not really a tipped ball, but the receiver went to catch a ball, bounced off his hands, off his helmet, off his shoulder pads, sort of clunky receiver play there. And the ball careened up into the air, and Will Anderson was able to pull it in and return it for a touchdown, pick six, 25 yards. Got a little bit of stiff arm there, so that was fun to see. He also on the day had a sack and a tackle for loss. So Will Anderson doing Will Anderson things. Certainly nice to see. DeMarco Helms just continues to play smooth and easy. 9 tackles. And here's the biggest thing. Here's what I want to call out for DeMarco Helms. And this is, you know, go back for the last couple of seasons, we've talked about DeMarco. We like DeMarco, but he's been a little bit of an enigma. He's been a little bit of an accounting problem. You know, it's been a, let's look at his debits and credits. Let's look at his assets and liabilities, and let's see where he sort of balances out in the ledger. Does he deserve to play? Yes, but man, he's got these liabilities over here, and we're good for one a game, and that's been true the last couple of seasons. And he really seems to have, and for that reason, we platooned him two years in a row. We platooned DeMarco Helms, and it looks like he has really cleaned up his balance sheet. I don't see any liability in his play to this point. He's still the sort of the hitman. I don't like the nickname, but he's still a very physical tackler, and I've seen him improved in coverage. His instincts are better. I don't want to say that he was uncomfortable on the field last year, but he certainly looks more comfortable this year in terms of where to line up, how to make the plays, how to get into coverage. And so can't say enough good things about DeMarco Helms. Helms is going to be one of those poster child guys. He could have gone pro, would have been drafted third, fourth, fifth round, and would have had a good career because he's that style of athletic. But he's going to come back, and I'm not going to predict that he's going to be a first rounder, but he might be a second rounder where he would have been a fourth rounder. He might be an early third where he would have been a fifth. And so DeMarco Helms is going to be a textbook of come back, soak up all of this coaching and opportunity that you have under Saban at Alabama, and it's going to better your draft opportunity. So DeMarco Helms, certainly that kind of player. Henry Toa, you know, he is making a lot of tackles all over the field, sideline to sideline. He's a very active player and in on a lot of things, even if his numbers don't always show it. And that's just a hallmark of a good player. It's certainly a hallmark of a good defense when you have more than one guy that you can say that about. And I think Alabama has four or five of those. But Toa had eight tackles. Again, a very active player. Sticking at the linebacker position, Jalen Moody had six tackles. And I can't say enough about how he has come back and seized the opportunity. He almost left. He went into the portal. When Christian Harris left, he said, I'm going to stay because I want to stay. This is where I want to be. And if you tell me there's a chance, then I want to come back and compete for my position. And he has played like he doesn't want to let that possession go. Well, I'm going to tell you what, the scout team offense this week, they had better watch out because Jalen Moody is going to be a man on the mission. And I say that because of this. Deontay Lawson, who we predicted would platoon with Jalen Moody, Deontay Lawson had a phenomenal game platooning with Jalen Moody. Lawson had five tackles to Moody six, and Lawson also had a pass deflection. So now in a preseason, I kept saying DeMoy Kennedy, and I was saying all the things, and I was saying DeMoy Kennedy. I've already done a correction on this, but I just want to emphasize this. Deontay Lawson is the player that we predicted would platoon. And on Saturday, that's exactly what happened. Now, our prediction there was not because we're mad at Moody, not even because we think he's a liability or needs to platoon like we used to say about Helms. I think it's down to body type and athleticism. Moody is a box forward linebacker, and I think Deontay Lawson has the long sort of long speed or long term athleticism that he can play more box back. And so I think I think the Tide coaching staff will rotate or platoon the running backs based on down and distance and also the opponent. And so playing against the Warhawks, they're more of a 4-5 wide receiver set. Moody certainly saw plenty of time. And I think the style of play and the down and distance opportunity afforded Lawson an opportunity as well. And he acquitted himself given those opportunities, which as Tide fans, we should celebrate. Every time we think we have two really good guys at a position and a third one emerges, it creates the drama of what are we going to do? But it's only a drama if we let it be and if sort of the media types ask questions and sort of undermines players' confidence or players' roles. The coaching staff will try to find the right roles, the right circumstance. They want everyone to be successful. And Deontay Lawson it only benefits the team in the long term. And I think he's certainly that kind of player. So that'll be another one. And again, we sort of called this, and I used to not say this as often, and now I'm not saying it as much now. But, you know, this is another one that we kind of called, and it's exciting to see it unfold that way. And it'll be interesting to see how that continues to play out. I think all three of the linebackers, and again, I'm counting really more middle linebackers, but Hank, Jalen, and Deontay, phenomenal players. And it's going to be fun to watch how they evolve and what roles they carve into. I think Deontay could, we could see him out there some with Moody. So we're spelling Henry. And so if we have more guys that can share the snaps, then that means all the guys can play deeper into the game with sort of a fuller tank of gas, which I think is phenomenal. I'm going to hit one last player before we do mini game ball on defense. And you just got to stand on the table and clap your hands and give a head nod for Terrion Arnold. We thought he might be a dark horse at the center position or at the cornerback position while we were sorting injury with Eli Ricks and Kyrie Jackson. And I think we're probably now sorting suspect play and practice habits. And Terrion Arnold is playing. I read this somewhere and it really resonated with me. Terrion Arnold is playing like it means something to him. And I thought, you know, that's the best way to characterize that. I knew I was going to talk about Arnold and his play and how satisfied we are in his play. And I thought that's the best way to sort of encapsulate it. He's playing like it means something to him. So, and clearly, certainly it does. And it's fantastic to see him lock up that corner position opposite Kool-Aid.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, let's do mini game ball on defense, and we're going to give our mini game ball to Jaheim Otis. I isolated on him a couple of times from the stands with the binoculars. He's a big old boy. Easily they throw double teams at him. He comes across the face of the offensive lineman to sort of get the opposite side gap. Very strong, very physical. Again, I'm going to paraphrase Saban again, but, you know, when Saban said, I'm not going to get all technical on you, I'm just going to tell you he's hard to block. We'll take as many of those guys as we can get across the front. Jaheim Otis absolutely is one of those. And on the day, now, again, we're going to talk about interior linemen. The Saban sort of defense isn't built for them to have big days, but sometimes they do. And I tell you, a good stat line for an interior defensive lineman on a Saban defense is what Jaheim Otis had. Is only two tackles, but he was in on half a sack and got him credited for a quarterback hurry. And so, and Jaheim Otis is a true freshman. So when all the recruiters say freshmen don't play at Alabama, they are just making stuff up. All right, let's flip to special teams. We need a whole section to talk about special teams because there's been some phenomenal play on Saturday. I'm going to tell you what, a block punt early in the game. I think within the first 4 or 5 minutes of the game, maybe not quite that fast, but 6 or 8, it's just an incredible, just an explosion. Alabama had an offensive touchdown, a defensive touchdown, and a special teams touchdown, not in that order. But it was 21-0 with three flavors of touchdowns in the first quarter. And I think the Tide exited the first quarter with 28 points, so four touchdowns. It's almost impossible to do. But when you get a pick six and a punt block return for a touchdown, those are easy ways to get quick, fast touchdowns. But nonetheless, you block a punt. Ja'Cory Brooks blocked it. So we talked about him having a phenomenal day. And Malachi Moore scoop and scoring. So he was credited with a 3-yard punt return, which is glorious. But that's phenomenal. That's always fun to see. You go to a game and you see a kick block. That's just a lot of fun. And so that's extra icing on the on the cake, if you will. So that was certainly fun to see. Alabama racked up 262 yards of punt returns. And if you don't think that's a big number, that is a record that has been on the books since, I want to say it was 1947 when Alabama played LSU. So yes, that's a big number. For all the quality punt returners we've seen, that's a big-ass number that was put up. And there's so many, I want to tip my hat to so many different players for contributing on those. But I want to park on Kool-Aid. He had quite a number of carries. I think he had 5 punt returns for a buck 36, and he looked so good returning the kicks. He was fluid in a way, and I'll use that term probably more than I should. But when I think of a player that just doesn't his cuts aren't violent, they're not aggressive, they're just smooth and silky easy. I think of fluid like water finding its way downhill. It dances a little bit and it cuts back and forth, but it's not aggressive. It's just finding its way. And Sean Alexander was a player that I felt that way about. And Eddie Jackson was a player. When he would run an interception, he looked really good in a broken field. And when we moved him to punt returner, and he was able to get opportunities there. It was very similar. He was just water finding his way. There's no violence in his run. It's just smooth and easy. And over time, it's always going to win. And that's how Kool-Aid McKinstry looked Saturday in his punt returns. And so he wasn't able to return one to the house, but he's just inches away from breaking several. And he netted with 136 yards, talking about flipping the field and really putting the offense in a good position. Those types of yards. I think Saban's right. You know, however you get the yards, a little bit in this phase of the game, a little bit in another phase of the game. But when you add up, 100 yards, that typically translates into a touchdown. And so when you average 20 yards, 25 yards on punt returns, you're setting your offense up with a shorter field. You're helping flip the field, put their defense, if you do have to punt, put their team further back. Brian Branch was another punt returner that had a phenomenal day. He only had one, but he went 68 yards to the house, and he just found the edge and powered forward with his speed. Isaiah Bond had one for 34, and we talked about Gibbs and his 57. James Burnup snuck in 2 punts somewhere in the game for 84 yards. He had a long of 47. I thought he looked good. And Will Reichert, you almost can't say enough good things about Will Reichert. He was 9 for 9 on his PATs, and he kicked nearly every one of his kickoffs into the end zone to the extent that I think he was actually Louisiana Monroe's best special teams player because they netted 25 yards every time he kicked the ball. Had they returned those, they would not have done as well. So there you go. All right, let's talk about next up. And Alabama hosts Vanderbilt and Bryant-Denny to kick off the SEC slate. Vanderbilt is 3-1 or 3-1, 2-1 at this point in the season. So that's good for them. They don't often make it this far into the season with a winning record. So go Doors, at least in that regard. So far, they've demonstrated a very mobile quarterback. And they have also demonstrated a porous D against, I would say, an inferior level of competition. So I think Alabama is going to ease into the SEC schedule, which that's great. And I am predicting a 42-10 style game. Again, it's hard to predict a shutout, but I think this Alabama offense is certainly rolling, as does the defense. With that, we're going to call it a wrap. Definitely check us out on your iTunes or podcast download machines and leave us a review. If there's any questions, don't hesitate to reach out and talk to us as well. We're on the Facebooks. We're on the Twitters. We are at AlabamaFootballPodcast.com and on the interwebs as well. With that, this has been another edition of the Alabama Football Podcast. Roll Tide.
Thanks for listening to the Alabama Football Podcast. We love that you're tuned in and hope that you enjoyed the show. We encourage you to reach out and let us know what you like, where we can improve, or just a shout out, a Roll Tide. We are where you are. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter, email newsletters, t-shirts, free roster downloads, and of course, on the web at AlabamaFootballPodcast.com. Check us out where you'll find easy links to your favorite way to follow the Tide. Got that, coach?
Aye.
Of course. Roll Tide.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.